Hello, hello, everybody. Coach Yesenia here, and welcome to our first monthly book study call. In January, we've been reading The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, and now that we've gotten through most of the book, today we're going to be discussing it, maybe coaching a little bit, and just talking about the book in general and what we got from it. So grab your book or grab any notes you may have, grab your water, because we're going to geek out a little bit for the next hour on the self-help and this book that we've been reading. So let me go ahead and pull up my chat and participants just so I can kind of see what's going on. I'd love a shout out from you. I'd love to hear where you guys are listening from. Okay, here we go. Oh, let me change my name because I am not the fabulous Corinne Crabtree. I am Coach Yesenia. Let me know if you guys can hear me okay. But I think it should be fine. It sounds like I'm not seeing anything in the chat that says otherwise. Awesome. Chicago, Central Illinois, Hawaii. Oh, so jealous. Massachusetts, Cincinnati, Minneapolis, Boston. Awesome. Good. You guys can hear me. South Dakota, St. Louis. Awesome. Okay, awesome. Okay, let's go ahead and jump in. Here's what we're going to do. So I know this is like the first call for our book studies. This is what I want to try out. So I want you to use the Q&A box. So not the chat, use the Q&A box to submit any big takeaway or big question that you have about the book. It could be like your favorite thing that you got from the book, the top lesson that you learned, your favorite quote, anything that just kind of blew your mind. I want you to put it in the Q&A box, or if you have anything that you would love to talk about the book, because later on in the call, I want to bring a few of you up here and I want us to just discuss and have like a conversation about the book. So this call will be a little bit different. So I'd love to see what you guys want to talk about in the Q&A box. Like I said, it could be a question or something that you really loved about the book, your top takeaway, and we could totally talk about that and just share ideas and ahas around that. Okay, so while you guys are doing that, let me see if I can pull up the Q&A box. Okay, here we go. Awesome, let me just pull up all of my things here. Okay, so Lana says, I'm just starting the book. Is it okay to stay on the call? Absolutely. So I'm sure you're still going to get a ton out of the call. You're going to get lots of little sneak peeks and previews about what the book is about. And then as you're reading the book, what we were talking about is just going to make more sense to you. And I'm sure you'll remember things from the call that you'll want to apply and think about as you're reading the book, but definitely. And I know a lot of you guys have been jumping into the book study. You know, sometimes you're jumping in the middle of the month. That is okay too. Like if at any point during a book study, you find out about it, you decide that you are going to make the time to read, or you have some extra time, or the book just looks really good and you keep hearing about it, you can always jump in at any point. I do provide like a suggested reading schedule for us where you can follow along week by week. But some of you guys just love to read the book, the whole book in the first week. And some of you guys like to read a little bit slower at your own pace here and there. Some of you guys, like I said, you just like to jump in the last week and just read the book then, or, you know, finish it in the next month. Like there's no right or wrong way to do the book studies. As long as you're just reading the book and hanging out and getting something out of it and applying it to your weight loss, like you're good. Okay, so I'm seeing a little bit about Einstein time. Oh, I'm seeing another comment about that. Okay, that's interesting. Yep, another comment about Einstein time. I thought that was an interesting topic too. So maybe we'll discuss that on today's call, because I know with the book, most of it is centered around why we self-sabotage and the fact that we have limiting sets of beliefs that hold us back in different areas of our lives. A ton of us here see it in our weight loss. But if you guys want to talk about Einstein time, that's cool too. What is it to do? Let's see. Gail says, this is the first book club call I've attended, so it's all new to me. You know what? It's new to all of us. This is our first No BS book study call. So welcome. So glad you're here. And this is first time for everybody here in our No BS monthly book study. So I'm definitely open to what you guys want this to be too. Yep, I'm seeing lots of you guys talking about Einstein time. The mantra, I love the mantra too. I keep it on a sticky on my monitor here. The mantra, I expand in abundance, success, and love every day as I inspire those around me to do the same. Like, I loved it so much. Like, it resonated with me so much that I wrote it out and I put it on that sticky note. And sometimes, like, when I'm feeling uncertain about myself, maybe I'm about to coach, maybe I'm about to do something that, you know, there's self-doubt popping up, and I'll just put my hand on my chest and I'll just recite it a couple of times, or I'll recite any kind of thought or mantra like that that really resonates with me. And then I'll take like deep breaths just to like settle back into certainty in myself, knowing that I can do anything, knowing that it all just starts with my own mindset and my thoughts. So again, that's what I love about that book. Like, it just really gets you thinking about your mindset and where it is currently and how it's holding you back, but also knowing exactly how you can like take a big leap out of where you are right now so that you can get unstuck and achieve new things. Let's see. Okay, I'm just going to keep an eye on that. But for now, I did want to touch on a couple of things in the book. And if you're just coming in, again, go to the Q&A box, enter in anything that you want to talk about the book. It could be like a top takeaway that you want to discuss with everybody, or a question about the book, maybe something that you didn't quite understand, anything like that. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But for now, I want to talk about why I love the book. And again, it's because, you know, a lot of us here in OBS, we're working on losing our weight. And sometimes we hit a certain weight. Sometimes we just hit up on something. Like, I'm like, oh, like I've been stalled out for 3 months now, and I keep gaining and losing and gaining and losing the same 5 pounds, and I don't know why. Or I had a really great week, I lost 3 pounds, and I left food behind, and I did my, you know, I did journaling, and I had a really great week, and then I just gained it all back over the weekend, and I'm so frustrated, and I don't know why that keeps happening to me. That's what we love about this book, and that's why Corinne was like, we've got to do this book, is because it addresses why all of that happens. If you've ever, in any area of your life, whether it was with your weight loss, or your money, or in your career, you found yourself achieving something awesome and then kind of self-sabotaging your way back down, this is why. It's because you ran into a set of limiting beliefs about yourself. So maybe, and he talks about it in the book as like having this internal thermometer or like thermostat, an internal thermostat where it's set to a certain little range, right? Like just this small range, you know, let's say it's 70 degrees. And if now all of a sudden you're at 80 degrees, nope, let's bring it back down to 70. So if all of a sudden you come into a lot of money, or you get a big promotion, or you lose 5 pounds that you haven't, it feels like, oh my gosh, I don't even know the last time I was at this weight, and I've never been in Wonderland. Like, and then you find yourself just regaining weight, or you spent all the money, you just blew it, you don't even know what you spent it on, or, you know, you get that new promotion at work, and then all of a sudden you're just finding yourself like not showing up the way you usually do at work, and you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I sabotaging? This is why. It's because you're running into some kind of limiting belief. And the thing about those beliefs is sometimes we're not even aware of what it is, especially around weight loss or money. He uses a lot of examples about money. And I do think that's such a good example, because a lot of times we're used to that. If like maybe our parents always made a certain amount of money, we think that's the amount of money we're supposed to make too. And if we make more than that, we, you know, we self-sabotage because we think, oh, like people are going to think I'm better than them, or, you know, I don't like all of this attention and people are going to think I'm like a goody good, or people are going to think that I'm rich now and I'm just better than them. You know, there's all of these little limiting beliefs that sometimes we don't even know what they are. We just know we're running into them because we find ourselves self-sabotaging to get back to this familiar area that we've been in. And sometimes, like I said, it's with weight loss too. We lose 10 pounds and then we self-sabotage and we gain it back. And we do that a few times and we're like, why am I doing this? Like, I don't know why I can't just follow my plan. It's because you're running into some sort of limiting belief that you haven't addressed and worked through. And the thing about the brain is that the brain likes to stay where it feels safe and familiar. And a lot of these limiting beliefs, we picked them up when we were growing up and we weren't really aware of them. Again, money is such a great example because think about your story around money, like what you think about money, what you believe about money, the amount of money that you make, what you think about rich people, what you think about poor people. And even with like weight, with your weight, right? What you think about overweight people, what you think about skinny people. Like when we were growing up, whether it was like with our family, those around us, what we saw on TV and movies and books, we picked up on little things and your brain was just cataloging that away. It saw something and I was like, oh, that's how this is supposed to work. And it was maybe more in the background or you don't even remember like where you learned what you know about money today. But whatever it is, that's how, that's like kind of like the manual that your brain has operated on forever. Like that's all it knows. That's what it knows about weight loss. That's what it knows about us being at this weight. Like we're supposed to be at this weight. We're supposed to earn this amount of money. And then when we try to do something different, we work on losing our weight, we work on getting that promotion, it starts to freak out a little bit because for the brain, anything new, anything, any kind of change feels very dangerous. Your brain is literally thinking like, we might die. This isn't us. This isn't what's supposed to happen. So that a lot of times that is what's going on there. And a lot of these stories that we have around our weight, that we have about our appearance, that we have about money, that we have about anything like that, maybe it served you in the past. Maybe you just learned it back then and it worked for you back then. Maybe that's like what was familiar for your parents and like how things always worked with your parents. And you never really questioned it. It feels very true. It feels very true to your brain. Remember what Corinne says, even though it feels true, doesn't make it true. And this can happen in weight loss, money, and like romantic relationships is like the other big one where we see limiting beliefs, like the kind of partner that you think you deserve or anything like that. So you can break through these limiting beliefs, but you do need to be like aware and intentional because a lot of time we just try to like we take actions and we accomplish something. But if you haven't addressed those limiting beliefs, that's where the self-sabotage comes in. So with these limiting beliefs, you need to dig into them a little bit and find out what the limiting beliefs are that you have around your weight loss, your money, your relationships, anything like that. And then once you know what they are, you can untangle them. You can break through them. Like he said, you can leap out of that current mindset and leap into a bigger and better one that helps you. That is like, okay, this is the kind of life that I want to have. This is how I want to show up. This is the amount of money I want to make. This is the weight range that I want to be at. And like that becomes a new you, right? So we talk about this a lot too in OBS. This is why we talk about like the future you. The future you just let go of a lot of these limiting beliefs. She has a new set of beliefs around her weight, how she loves herself, the people in her life, the money she makes, anything like that. Maybe she just has a little bit different set of beliefs than where you are right now. And some of us have already done that work too, like around diet mentality and weight loss not having to be hard, right? So you've already done a little bit of this work, but sometimes we just need to do a little bit more. And then I wanted to talk about, so what I love about the book, like I said, is like once you know what's been holding you back, I love the hidden barrier section because it gives you something specific that you can work on. If any of the hidden barriers applied to you and you're like, oh my gosh, this is me, then you know exactly the work that you need to do to break through that limiting set of beliefs around that. And this is where like journaling comes in. You can do a thought download on like whatever hidden barrier came up for you. And you can do a thought download on like, okay, so this is like where I am right now. This is my current thermostat right now. This is my current belief system right now about my weight. And then you can get a little curious and do another thought download on what is the belief system? What is a set of beliefs that me 10 pounds from now has? What does me at my goal weight, what does she think about her weight? What does she think about whatever it is? If it could even be about money, it could be about weight loss, it could be about your romantic partner, anything like that. What does she think? What is her belief system about this? And once you know that, you can start practicing those thoughts. You can start practicing that new set of beliefs and start to incorporate it into who you are. I was talking to a private client about this. Anytime that you start to practice something new, like a new habit or like a new thought, you want to practice it in this way of like, this is who I am now. I am someone who exercises. I am someone who journals. I am someone who stops eating at enough. I am someone who makes this amount of money now. I am someone who is in this weight range now. This isn't weird. This isn't scary and new. This is just who I am now. So that's what I wanted to touch on with a book. And I've loved seeing you guys post in the Facebook groups. You guys have picked up so many good insights and good questions from the book. I saw some of you guys discussing like, what's your zone of genius? And then talking about Einstein time. Okay, so now that we've got a few things going on in the Q&A, I'm gonna look and see what we can talk about. So the topic of worry was really good too. I loved his approach on worry. Let's see. Okay, so anonymous attendee said, how do we figure out what those limiting beliefs are? That's a really good question. So how you start to figure that out, start even by looking at the four hidden barriers and seeing which one resonates with you. So these were on, let's see. So these start on page 45. So he talks about the four hidden barriers. So number one is feeling fundamentally flawed in some way. And to me, this was kind of like, you know, you feel like not worthy, like you don't deserve the kind of life that you want. You don't deserve to be happy. That's what that one is about. A lot of our no BS women resonate with that one. And then number two was disloyalty and abandonment. I cannot expand to my full success because it would cause me to end up all alone, be disloyal to my roots, leave behind people for my past. I see some clients struggle with that one too. Like, you know, I'm so like, you know, all of my friends are overweight like me, and if I lose my weight, they're gonna think I'm leaving them behind, or they're gonna whatever, right? So it could be something like that. Number three was believing that more success brings a bigger burden. I see this a lot around money. If I make more money, that's more problems, more bills, more like it's just gonna be a headache to have more money, and then, you know, people are gonna think this, people are gonna think that. So do you believe that if you lose your weight, that will bring a burden with it? Number four was the crime about shining. And this one happens a lot with siblings. And so thinking that like, if you lose your weight and all of a sudden you look really great. Like, maybe that's going to make your siblings feel worse, or, you know, maybe your parents are going to like that because maybe growing up they told you, hey, like, you're smart, like, the you've got the limelight on you, but like, dial it down a little bit because your brother or sister is going to feel bad. I saw you guys post about that one a little bit too. So start there. So again, that started like on page 40, let's see, 45, and see if any of those resonate with you. And you can use that as a journaling prompt. If you find that, you know, hidden barrier number two really resonates with you, do a journal, do like 5 minutes of journaling on it and see what comes up for you. Start to explore it. Start to see where you notice it in your life and in your weight loss. Okay, so now what we're going to do, I want to bring on one or two people to coach before we start to do a little bit of like the book discussion. So I don't want this just to be me. And I do want to coach one or two people who are like, you found something in the book, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm noticing this in my weight loss. I need help. Or, you know, I'm noticing that I'm having this limiting belief around hidden barrier number one. How do I even work on this? Or like he said, like, I've maybe you've lost and gained the same little bit of weight over and over, and you know it's something happening like with your beliefs about yourself. So if you want coaching on anything related to the book and what we learned about in the book, raise your hand. And while we wait for people to do that, I think we might talk about Einstein time, because a lot of you guys were, I thought that was such an interesting topic too, because a lot of us actually have, a lot of us have limiting beliefs around time. And so I thought it was really cool that he talked about this, because I mean, guys, how many of us say like, oh, I'm so busy, I don't have time. You know, like, I'm just always on the go, like, you don't understand, I really don't have enough time. And it's, if you're always thinking of time in that way, like, in this scarce way, you're only going to prove that true. And so sometimes we just need to let go of that story that we have around time and thinking that there's never enough time. And again, it's like, money is another good example of this. A lot of us might have scarcity thoughts around money and how we never have enough money and we're always broke. If that's your core belief on money, if that's your core belief on time, that is the kind of reality that you will create for yourself. Because I know that in the past, when I've had that kind of belief around money, let's say, and I just always think like, oh, I'm just always stressed around money, I just think that like, I'm just gonna run out, like, there's always something that comes up. There's always one bill or another. Just when I think I've gotten ahead in my finances, something happens. Well, guess what? When I'm thinking like that, I am more likely to like even overspend, because I just think that the money just always, like, I just always run out, right? Same thing with time. If you believe that you just never have enough time, that is what you will create. You will always be seeing the problem that you have with time instead of being open to what solutions there could be around how much time you have and how much time you're wasting. Once you're open to believing that time is not this scarce thing that you're always running out of, you're open to seeing where you're wasting time, where you're doing things that you don't even want to do, where you have lots of time. Okay, so Allison is raising her hand, and while I'm coaching her, if any of you guys want to come on and discuss something, let's go ahead and decide that we can talk about Einstein time a little bit, and then if we still have time, we can talk about something else. So if you know that you want to talk about Einstein time and you want to come on and talk a little bit with a few of us, start deciding if you want to do that, and then you can raise your hand as well. Let's bring on Allison and let's see what we can coach her on. Okay.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I didn't. How are you doing? I know this, Allison. I didn't know.
It's me. So, yeah, I figured I'd jump on. No one's raising their hand yet, but I raised my hand before we went to the Einstein time. But the question I wrote down, you kind of answered it in the Einstein time. So in the Einstein time, I would talk about like the story of I'm always late. Well, that's my problem too.
That's another one for sure.
Oh, always. So I'm always. I'm glad my boss hasn't fired me. I've been there 20 years. But I was gonna, instead of the Einstein time, because before we talked about that, I was thinking I have that limiting belief on repeat that I always self-sabotage myself. So even though all these years I've done all this work to like get past that, what if that in itself is what's holding me back? Is because I still have that on repeat that I always self-sabotage.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That might be like.
That's literally it. Like, I love that you described it in that way because that's exactly it. I think when we realize like, oh, it's not that I'm just like literally the only thing holding you back is your own limiting belief in yourself, and that's it. Like, that's it. It's just a thought holding you back from whatever it is that you want, your goal weight or a certain amount of money, a certain career, anything like that. And like, it's what's great about that is that is completely in your control. What you believe about yourself and the thoughts that you're having,
that is
always within your control. Yeah. And sometimes some of these stories that we have, they are way easier to let go of than you think. Like sometimes it's just seeing it on paper and digging into a little bit and then being like, oh, that doesn't even make sense.
I'm seriously sitting here writing down so many of like the old limiting beliefs. Cause I even had the thought today where I had like a list of things I kind of wanted to take care of and this and that in between the Zooms. And I did absolutely none of them. And I'm like, I always self-sabotage, but I'm like, maybe I self-sabotage because I'm always telling myself I always self-sabotage. So I don't know, give me a new thought or something. Cause this is my aha today. Cause it's just, you know,
are you self-sabotaging with? Do you have a specific
So today, cause I always watch Corinne at noon. So one of the things I planned on doing today was, you know, I'm going to watch her anyways. I look at meal prep is too big of a thought for me. So I thought, okay, from noon to 1:30, I can just produce prep. So I just wanted to like wash my grapes and I have like some cauliflower to steam and I have, you know, stuff that's already here. I just thought I could, you know, prep it. And I did the exact opposite. Like I always tend to do the exact opposite. And I ended up having like a good desk day today. But on the days that I tell myself I'm going to do a good desk day are the days that I'll spend the day in the kitchen.
And you know, why do you end up doing the opposite thing? Like in that moment that you like decided to do the desk day instead of the produce prep.
Yeah. Like it's happened? Just like, I don't want to. Like I
know.
That's what I don't know. Like in, I almost like, well, I don't feel like it. Or I almost,
Maybe that's just a little layer of bullshit on top of like,
I think I bullshit myself.
Yeah. Oh, I just don't want to like, but there's something else there.
Yes. And that's what, and so I try to play
maybe
the
mind tricks. Because you thought, like you said earlier, like, oh, that feels like this big thing. Like maybe it's because the meal prepping feels like just like too much or something. So let me do something else instead.
Someone just wrote Eat That Frog. I've read that book. sorry, that was in the chat. But and it's like it's easy for me to eat. Like I like to cook my veggies and I like to, you know, I'm gonna do it someday this week. They're already sitting there. I get a produce box delivered. So it's
why didn't you just do it?
So I that's what I don't need to know.
Like take a guess.
Yeah, that's not. Because I felt like it's something I had to do. And then that's an excuse in itself.
If you almost feel like actually, go ahead.
So Sundays for me, I'm trying to let them be very like free flowing. And I feel like the minute I like have something on my agenda, then I don't want to do it. Where last week I did it. And that's why, because I did it last week, I thought, oh, this can be, I almost think it's like once I tell myself I'm going to do it every day or every week or make it feel like structure, then I'm not going to do it. Because seriously, yeah. Last week I did it. Like in most Sundays I do that. And then once I think like, oh, I'm going to make that into my like to do, then I don't do it. So,
and is it because you're thinking, oh, if I have structure in my day and I commit to something, then it's not free flowing anymore? Like, why do you like things to be free flowing?
Because for me, liking things to be free flowing, I will actually accomplish more things than if I like lay out my day of like, okay, from 9 to 10, I want to do this. And then 10 to L, I will like,
why doesn't that feel free? Sidetracked. Why doesn't like just deciding on what you're going to do today? Why doesn't that feel free flowing? Why didn't the meal?
Like, I don't even realize that I'll do something. Like it did when I thought about it, but then I will do something else. Like that's what I don't get. Like I always end up doing something else. So,
but is it because you're thinking, oh, it's not free flowing, or why?
This thing, I'm not even thinking about it. But now that I'm sitting,
you are though
to think about it. Yeah, there's a thought in there.
Yeah, because you have the think, feel, do cycle. So you say you're doing something else. So that is driven by a thought and a feeling that you had in that moment. Is it? It could even be something like, oh, I don't like doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing. Or I don't like structure. Yes, I don't.
You just nailed it. You just nailed it. I don't like doing what I think I should be doing.
It sounds like you wanted to, though.
I did. That's the thing. I wanted to. I really like now I'm like, I screwed myself on dinner because I planned on having those. So that is like, you said it. And when we watch a replay, I'll go back on it. But I think you said it like, I don't want to do what I think I feel like I want to do. Oh, I forget how you worded it. It came out.
I want to do what I think I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just it. Like, okay, even though I want to do it. Okay, I want to do it.
Why did you want to do it this morning, though? Or when did you decide? Was that this morning when you decided?
Oh, actually, last Sunday. Last Sunday, I thought, you know, I'm going to use, you know, my Sundays, because for the past, I've been in the tribe since April 2019. Uh-huh. I always watch Corinne on Sundays if I'm home. So it was just the thought that I linked, like, oh, since I'm going to watch her, I might as well use that as my kitchen time. And then I didn't do it today. So
why didn't you remind your brain then of like, oh, this is why I did want to do it. Like, I know I don't feel like it right now, or I think it's something I'm supposed to be doing, but last Sunday I told myself why I wanted to do this.
Cause it was easy. It made sense. I'm already doing one thing. It's so easy to piggyback the other.
I think your brain is just really good at being like, nope, anything you're going to do, maybe it's just like, no, like, I don't know. Do we really want to do this? No, I don't think I do. You know, like.
My brain is good at it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a practiced pattern, but you just have to get good at like, okay, catching it and then remind, like, this is what I tell a lot of my clients too. Like, sometimes we have a thought, like, oh, I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then we stop right there and that's it. But it's like Rin tells us, like, we've got to continue that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Remind yourself why you did want to do it. And the only reason it even feels kind of like, ugh, to like go and do it is because it's just a set of thoughts that you have around it. Like, you can totally, like, preparing your produce for the week can feel lush and free flowing and whatever you want it to be at any time.
Mm-hmm. And I do it all the time. Like, I will make my lunches. The getting my veggies together isn't a new thing for me. I actually like am that human that loves veggies. I love my pizza and I love my chocolate and I love my beer, but I do love my veggies. It was just the pairing them together this week that I, you know, kind of like my brain is just good at like getting in the way. So I like what you said of reminding myself, like, instead of just going up against it, like keep going in my thought process.
And you're kind of reminding yourself that. Like, that's what I'm thinking right now. Like, I don't feel like
it's my habit brain,
but I know that tonight I'm going to wish I had done it. Like, I did want to do it. Like, I, both last Sunday, I wanted to do it for this reason. And then tonight, after it's done, I'm going to be glad I did it for this reason. And sometimes even just getting started is the biggest hurdle, you know, like you don't feel like doing it. But then once you start, like 5 minutes in, you're like, oh, okay, like this can feel lost. This can feel free flowing. This can feel like whatever you want it to feel like.
Well, and it's like, and again, like cooking my veggies is not the big deal, but it's almost like I purposely self-sabotaged today. And I wonder if that's my upper limit, that because I always tell myself I self-sabotage, then today something I do anyways,
you I just purposely like things like, to boom. Feel fun or just like to do things like, or
what I will it? Do them. It's almost like once I tell myself I have to do it or want to do it, then all of a sudden I don't want to do it. Like I seriously make my vegetables every week. Like it was almost the fact of, even if I get something that I do and then I'm like, oh, if I just did this every day, once I say like every day, then it's like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Just remember that your brain can say that all it wants, but you're the one that decides to like actually do that or not. Like you're the one in charge. And you know that even though you don't feel like doing it, like, you know, it's actually what you do want to do. Sometimes we don't feel like making a plan or stopping at enough, but we override our habit brain and we do what we said we were going to do anyway, because we know that even though maybe we don't feel like it in the moment, we know the result is what we want. We know that like, no, I actually do want to do this because I know that in 15 minutes, I don't want to feel like my pants are busting open because I ate way too much, but I wanted it right now.
When I think the habit brain, I didn't realize it was a habit brain. I think that my actual habit brain is the self-sabotage.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what it is, like it could be things I effortlessly already do. Once I think about it as something I like have to do or I should do or I have to do today or put it into a structure, it's the habit that of the self-sabotage.
Yeah. Well, the habit brain likes to have everything on autopilot and not do anything new. It just likes to. And so that's where a lot of our limiting beliefs, you know, are, you know, they're in the habit brain, like they're practiced. We've had them for a long time. And to try to change that or show up in a different way, your habit brain's going to be like, whoa.
Yeah. It doesn't want to. All right. So that's my, as I said, like, sorry, this is my notes, but like, here's like my upper limit line. And that like right here is the self-sabotage. And I feel like
what do you were talking Allison about the Einstein time. What do you think Allison, who has like, she's gotten above her thermostat, like her thermostat that she's always been at, she's above that line that you just showed me. What does she think about doing the produce prep
when she does it? As I said,
it's effortless. Her brain is like, oh, I don't feel like doing something that I'm supposed to be doing right now. Like, how does she handle that? I mean, she figured it out.
Yeah, I think she doesn't even have thoughts about it. She just goes in the kitchen and, you know, presses play on Zoom and Corinne and just cooks.
She has the thought. The thought still pops up.
Maybe this is how she shows up for herself on Sundays.
Yeah, I think she just
wants to do it.
Yeah, she notices it. Maybe for a minute she sits there like, you know that moment where you just don't feel like doing something, but then she gets up and she decides to do it anyway. And she remembers like, oh yeah, I don't negotiate on this because I know.
I like that word.
That this is what I actually want to do. I know that later tonight or later this week, like I'm going to be really glad I did this. And it's going to allow the rest of my week to be really free flowing because now I've taken care of this and gotten it out of the way.
I like that you said I don't negotiate, because I think I tend to do that. Like, for no reason, I just start negotiating. Like, there's two, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't need to. All right. I'll work on this. Yeah.
What else did you love about the book?
My veggies. So I read the book a couple years ago. And okay. What I like about it this time is going through it slower. In really kind of breaking it down, because I read it more from a like business perspective a couple years ago, as opposed to like my own self stuff. And one of the things that I have written down for many years is that I expand in abundance, success, and love every day as I inspire those around me to do the same. And I feel like it took a deeper meaning to it now. And I never really sat and broke down, okay, my upper limit problem is my self-sabotage. And another thing, instead of self-sabotage, it's almost like self-protection. And it's like I'm keeping myself safe because it's familiar. And I got coached by Coach Kim.
The safe isn't where all the awesome day. Shit happens. Safe exactly. isn't where all and the awesome shit happens, you guys. I mean, I'm you can stay safe if you want, but if you want to do some awesome shit, like, you've got to step a little bit out of your comfort zone and do things that you don't feel like doing, and, you know, be willing to be like, crap, I don't feel like doing this, but you know what, I'm getting it done anyway, or be willing to think new and different things. I mean, Corinne didn't create this whole program by
staying when I was gonna say
she felt safe.
Coach Kim told me, I don't know if this is backwards it's on that, but she literally,
I love it.
Mm-hmm, and I have that. So that was on my coaching call. And I think taking the big leap of that upper limit problem is that, you know, self-protection. And so to get past that, it's time to get uncomfortable. And maybe getting uncomfortable isn't the veggies. It's the conversation I have when I realize I'm starting to negotiate. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I think this book is good, like breaking it down.
Yeah. As a lot of us work through these hidden barriers and the limiting beliefs that we have currently, it is going to feel a little bit uncomfortable, but it's because, you're doing that work. You're growing outside of your current comfort zone.
And I never stopped to pause that the uncomfort zone was actually just the conversations in my head.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of uncomfortable that I have.
Yeah. Just the conversation in your head is where we're going to experience a lot of that discomfort for sure. That's so good.
All right. I'm adding you to my post-it. All right, girlfriend. Well, thank you.
So much. I'm going to bring on Christine and see if she wants to be coached or if she wants to discuss the book. But, and if at some point you want to come on and discuss the book a little bit more, just raise your hand. So, you brought up a lot of good points. All right. Let me read back down. Thanks so much, Allison.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll see you later. Thank you. You're doing awesome.
Thank you. Okay, let's bring on Christine and Becky. Do you guys want to do a little bit of discussion around the book? So Christine and Becky, you guys have your hands raised. If you guys want to come on and discuss the book, Allison, if you want to come back on too and discuss it, anybody who just wants to come on and discuss, we can discuss like self-sabotage and any limiting beliefs you've noticed, maybe something around the hidden barriers, how this applies to your weight loss, what we've been talking about, what you learned in the book, feel free to raise your hand. Let me bring on Christine first and see what she says. We have 15 minutes left. This is just like flying by. Okay, here we go. I don't know why I look so orange. Okay, Christine, let me ask you to start your video and ask to unmute because we can't see or hear you just yet. I can't see or hear you, Christine. Can you do start video and unmute? Look for it on the bottom. I don't know what's going on. Let's see. We might have to. Okay. I don't know what's going on. Let's see. I'm asking you to start your video and I'm asking you to unmute Christine, but I'm not sure if you're just having trouble. So let me bring you back down and I'll try to bring on Becky. Okay, so let's try Becky and then anybody else who just wants to come on and discuss the book. Okay, so somebody's asking what's Einstein time. He talks about this a little bit closer to the end of the book. The end of the book, he talks about like criticism, worry. He touches a little bit on like arguments and relationships and blaming and Einstein time. This concept of Einstein time is like basically says like, I am the master of time versus like thinking like you're in charge of your time. And versus like, you know, how we often think around time, how like we're always busy, we don't have enough time, we're always late, like it feels like time is controlling you, but he's talking about like, no, you are in charge of your time. You can be the master of your time. And sometimes when we just let go, like he gives the example of when I think he was catching the subway and he was running to make it to a meeting and blah, blah, blah. And the minute he just like relaxed, he just relaxed and was like, no, I'm the master of time. Like basically time is my bitch. And he just relaxed and he wasn't like, you know how that mindset space that we get into when we're like in such a hurry or we think we don't have enough time, he just let go of all of that. And he like, was like, I got to my meeting on time. And I noticed that when I do this and I think that I'm the master of time, I just have so much more time. And I think I'm going to be late, but I actually wasn't. And I just, or it worked out. I think it worked out in his favor. Like the meeting hadn't even started or something. So I thought that was such an interesting concept. And I know it can feel a little like woo-woo or out there, but I've noticed that if I like allow stress around time and like, I don't have enough time. I seem to just like time seems to fly so much faster. Like, because I think I'm spinning so much in overwhelm. That I'm like, that's where the time is going. I'm spending my time just feeling overwhelmed and worrying about, am I going to have time? Am I going to be late? Versus if I just let go of all of that and I just trust that it's all going to work out and I have plenty of time for everything. Becky, I don't know what happened to you. I thought I clicked the button to bring you on, but then you just disappeared. So if you guys want to raise your hand and come on and talk, raise your hand. Otherwise, I'll just go through the Q&A. Okay, so I'm seeing in the chat, Becky, that you're here, but can you raise your hand again? It's okay, there we go. There you are again. Okay, let's try this again. Okay. Can you turn on your video? Okay, there you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi. So the part in the book that I'm curious about, and I listened on like 2x speed crazy so I could make this mm-hmm. call and have read it all. shout out to my sister who's on here, taught me that trick. It's a little stressful, but so I remember my dog's coming. I remember at the okay. beginning, he mentioned something of, oh crap, my whole family's coming up.
I love it when that happens.
I know, right? Hubby's here. So he mentioned something about that good feeling that you have. How do you hold on to that? Like if you're just experiencing joy and then we sabotage ourselves. So is that where the mantra comes in? He said kind of like expand it, make it last, but I don't really know any, I didn't pick up on any strategies to keep that going.
You said he talked about this in the beginning of the book.
I thought so.
Was it when he was talking about, I remember he talked about how we can allow ourselves to feel good, like a larger part of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
we think something good happened. So then something bad must be like, maybe it's going to happen too. And like, we don't even allow ourselves to, like, we have the possibility to feel good more than we think. Is that what you're talking about? Like, was it that section of the book?
I don't know. Maybe I just interpreted it that way. Like I can identify times where I felt amazing. Like, how do you just make that last more than just those moments when we sabotage? But you know what I mean? I don't know.
What do you think would make it last?
Well, I know it has to do with your thinking. Mm-hmm. So probably saying, oh, this won't last, or I'm not worthy of feeling this good. You know, the mantra probably would help.
I think we start to question too, if we deserve things, you know, like if we have an awesome boyfriend, or we get an awesome promotion, or we buy an amazing new house, or we lose like 10 more pounds. I think sometimes we just start to wonder if, like, oh, like, am I even
too good to be true?
Yeah, like, it's too good to be true, or it's not gonna last. I think
maybe you could say that's my habit of.
Oh,
my thermos. It happens. So
say that again.
Something like when you feel good, and then you can feel yourself going down, say that's natural. That's just my thermostat going back to kind of my status quo. But that's just a thought. So kind of be aware of that lull.
I think awareness is huge for sure, because a lot of people, you know, they run into these limiting beliefs and they just self-sabotage over and over again. And they don't even know that why this is happening. They just think like, this is just the kind of life they're destined to live, you know? But when you start to even become aware that it all comes back to your thinking, then you can like catch and be like, oh, I'm noticing that I'm having all of these thoughts that like, oh, I got this promotion at work, or I lost 10 more pounds, and I'm already like, sometimes you start to feel it before you even catch the thoughts. Sometimes that's what I do. If I start to notice like a pit in my stomach, or I just start to notice like some kind of shitty feeling in my body, I know I'm thinking something, even if it takes me a few minutes to catch what it is.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like the feeling comes before the thought, but that's not really true. But I hear what you're saying. You have to kind of dig. So what happened there? What did I all of a sudden get this?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've lost some, you know, a little bit more weight, or something good happens and you're noticing, like, you know, there's, you know, maybe at first you're feeling great about it, you're so excited, you're so thankful, whatever it is. But then you start to notice like some kind of sinking feeling, some kind of bad feeling in your body. That's the good moment to dig in and like, why? Is it because I think the other shoe is going to drop? Is it because I think I don't deserve this? Is it because I think like people are going to think I'm better than them, or people are going to think that I'm just leaving them behind? Or, you know, am I uncomfortable with the attention? Why? Like, that's a good time to dig into this and see what could be going on. Maybe like that's a sign that you could be running into some kind of limiting belief.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you notice this specifically with something? Did you have like a specific example where you noticed this with you?
Well, like the past 2 weeks, I've actually lost weight, which is, I don't know if I think I've been in this program a long time, like over a year and a half. And this is the first consistent success. So I haven't been like, all right, you're really going to screw this up. It's more like the first time I'm feeling hopeful. So I guess I want to keep that going. No, it's just consistent day to day. I'm a moody person, but like day to day, I feel amazing. Then not, you know, just, you know, moments with your kids that you're just like, they are amazing. Hold on to that as opposed to being like, I can never get any alone time. It's, you know, it's just a constant, up and down. So I think just noticing that I think will help, and just try to like, I'm not very woo-woo, so kind of expand into that feeling. But yeah, I think noticing it will help.
And we're human, so sometimes we're going to have those little ups and downs because we're just thinking a lot of things throughout the day. I have kids too, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, I was feeling great, and now these kids busted into the room, and I've lost my focus, and I just want to do my work, but they're bothering me. So yeah, I think we just get better at noticing those thoughts and thinking like, oh, I'm just thinking those thoughts because I think the kids should behave in this way. But why should they? They're kids. Of course, they're going to bust into the room sometimes and demand attention. Like,
yeah,
it still comes back to my thinking and like what I think, how I think they should be behaving. Or I, you know, I think I should have just uninterrupted alone time. But sometimes that's the case. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes the kids are just going to be kids.
Yeah.
So like those little conversations, like how can you make the feeling last? Well, like having, like noticing the thought, whatever it is, like if you're frustrated, why am I frustrated right now? What am I thinking that's making me feel frustrated? And then saying, is that true? Is that what I want to think? Like if I'm frustrated around the kids, like, do I want to remember that, you know, sometimes kids are just gonna be kids. They're just,
yeah, it was really helpful. I keep hearing the message of, but what else is true?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And just kind of compounding in the concept of equal airtime, you know, mm-hmm. like I want that food. I really want it. And it's going to make me feel good, but yeah, how are you going to feel? But also what else is true? Tomorrow, you're not going to feel great. You're going to make yourself proud if you don't eat that. You're going to be able to fill in those stupid little circles.
Stupid little circles.
I mean, amazing circles. So yeah. So I think, and also I just never, all of a sudden I'm hearing, you know, the equal airtime from Corinne of just the other side of the coin, you know? So
mm-hmm. I think that's helpful. And why are you feeling hopeful around your weight loss right now? You said that earlier. You said, I'm feeling hopeful.
Yeah. I mean, I've known that it's the overeating or going past two, or someone in my accountability group heard someone at PNP say, stop when you're not hungry anymore. And that resonated as like, yeah. I've heard from like, oh crap, that's not much food. Cause I feel like you can get the hunger can go away very quickly. So yeah, I'm just seeing that small steps are working, and yeah, I'm just kind of getting my shit together. So, I'm hoping that I can do it. You know, I'm working on my 10-pound goal, for the 60-day goal. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's actually going to happen. So yeah, I'm definitely feeling hopeful. And I've been putting a little bit more work in, you know, I've been talking to my accountability group more. I've been showing up on these calls. So, but it's like when you're ready, don't go in all at once, or at least that's what's working for me. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, lots of little steps will get you there. That's how I did my weight loss too. Just one little step.
Yeah.
Got good at that. Then another little thing, then another little thing.
Yeah.
But even just watch how you're talking about it. Cause you said like, oh, it seems like it's actually going to happen. It's like, it seems like there's a part of you that still thinks like things could still swing the other way. Like, and remember this is, yeah, like, and even the feeling of hope, it's kind of based on like, I hope this external thing that's out of my control happens. Like, this is all in your control. This is all possible.
That's true. Hope does seem like it's out of my control.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, the four basics, you know exactly what to do. So it is all within your control. This 60-day goal can happen because I'm making sure that I'm taking the little steps that are going to get me there.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, awesome.
Well, thank you
so much for coming on, Becky.
Thank you. Thanks for being an awesome coach.
Thanks. All right, let me move you back down. All right, guys, camera. Yeah, that's pretty much it. This was such a good call. Let me just, and you guys were, I was kind of keeping an eye on the comments, and you guys were sharing lots of really helpful things in there. Suzanne, I remember, have something really cool, but I think I lost it now, about not judging the up and down feelings throughout the day. Like, they're emotions. We're humans. We have emotions sometimes. Okay, here it was. When I stopped judging my ups and downs, the downs have become less downy. They're a part of my life, and I know they're coming. I call it slow time now, and I have a plan in my pocket that I pull it for those times, if that makes sense. So yeah, That's awesome. And let me see if there was anything else in the Q&A. Okay, so I'm trying to line up Gay's idea that we can have more and more success and experience being in our zone of genius more and more versus Brooke's 50-50 idea. You know, I saw you guys talking about this a little bit in the Facebook group, and about, you know, Brooke Castillo in the Life Coach School, she teaches this idea. And it's kind of like when we say equal airtime, or just life is 50-50. Life is awesome 50% of the time. We feel awesome. It's like positive feelings. And then 50% of the time, we feel kind of shitty. You know, maybe we're mad, we're frustrated, we're sad, we're whatever it is. Like, you know, it's feelings that don't feel good in our body. And then the author was talking a little bit about how we can feel good more of the time. We can enjoy more and more success and experience more of the time being in our zone of genius. And some of you guys were saying how sometimes, like, even Brooke's 50-50 idea is good for a lot of people, because a lot of people think that, I only feel happy 10% of the time. So even the idea of 50-50 for them is like a little bit like, what? It feels a little bit just kind of crazy, you know, just kind of incredible to think of life being 50-50. And I think that's a really good, like, overall general, like, baseline. But I also think you can feel, I don't know, I think I thought that was interesting too. I think you totally can feel great more of the time, experience more success. Like, why not? Like, what would happen if you were open to that idea that you could be happy more of the time, that you could have a lot more success? Things like our results come from our thoughts. The kind of life that we have comes from our thoughts. How we're experiencing everything comes from our thoughts. So, like, it seems like there's no downside to thinking that there's more success possible for you, that there's more happiness possible for you. Like, why not? Why not try? Becky said 50% crap seems high. And another thing too is, like, some people, like, experience, like, I feel like right now mine is a little bit more 50%, like a little bit more than 50%, like, kind of negative feelings, but it's because I'm growing like I never have before. And so if you're stepping out of your comfort zone a lot and stepping into discomfort, stepping into courage, stepping into, like, learning new things, shedding doubt, shedding layers of you that you used to be, and becoming someone new, you're probably going to feel more negative feelings, because, like, even like an emotion like courage and discomfort, they end up giving you, like, an awesome result in your life. They help you achieve incredible things, but in the moment it feels a little shitty. You know, when you feel courage, if you're feeling courage, it's probably because you're a little scared, but you're doing it anyway. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, you're doing it on purpose to grow, to achieve something, but it's still going to feel a little icky in your body. So I thought that was interesting. So it could swing either way, depending. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for coming on. I just want to close the call by announcing our February book study. So you guys have probably heard Corinne announce this a few times. It's in the Facebook group. And now we have a book study page. So if you go to the website and go to weight loss resources and then bonus courses, you're going to see, like, a book study page where if you click on that, you can see all of our different book studies. So The Big Leap has its own page that you can click on. We have one for Chasing Cupcakes, because that's a previous book study that we did in 2020. And that's where I got that, like, no negotiating tip. That was probably my favorite thing from the whole book. Not turning things into a negotiation. And then for February, you'll see that page coming up soon. So anytime you're like, where do I get the book? What's the new book? Where can I get the study guide? We have pages now on the website for the book study. So again, under weight loss resources, bonus courses, and then book study, you click on that and you'll see the different book studies by book. For February, we're going to be reading The Body Is Not an Apology. It's by Sonia Renee Taylor, and it's an amazing book. And February, we're talking all about self-love. So it's going to go perfectly with that. And it's all about self-love, radical self-love, taking self-love deeper than you ever have thought about it before. And there's a lot of really great journal prompts. The book study guide will be going up soon. And you'll start to see more around that. So it'll be posted in the Facebook group and it'll be posted on that page on the website on February 1st. You'll see the study guide available. You'll see the suggested reading schedule, everything that you need. But if at any point you're not sure about something, post in the Facebook group or, you know, write into support at pmptribe.com and ask them. We'll get you figured out. And then a lot of you guys have been asking about the first edition isn't available. You know, I noticed that there's a second edition coming out. Which one, like, are we doing the book study on the second edition or the first, or, you know, so this is what I've been saying about that. So whatever edition you go with, you're going to be fine. You're going to get everything that you need out of the book. The second edition, I believe, has like a bonus chapter or something like that. But I read the first edition, the book study and the study guide is based on the first edition. But if you want to just pre-order the second edition, it comes out on the 9th. If you want to just go ahead and pre-order that and just jump in whenever you get your copy, that's fine too. If you want to just get the first edition, that's fine too. They've like unpublished them, I think, unpublished the first edition. I know for sure the Kindle version's not available for the first edition. Like, you would have to wait. If you want the Kindle version, you have to wait until the 9th to get that second edition. But there is a large print first edition paperback available. And I'll be putting that into the Facebook group too. And that may have already been posted. So our community team was going to post that for me. But if you're not sure, just post in the Facebook group and we'll get you figured out. So, but this has been amazing. I'm loving this. Keep your ideas coming, your feedback coming on anything you want to see with book study. And we're still like, this isn't set in stone. We're still very much so listening to you guys. If you want to suggest a book, if you want to suggest, you know, what you want for the calls or what you want for the study guide, let us know. So, all right, guys, happy Sunday, and I'll see you on another call, I'm sure. Bye.